All right, I want to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessing be with you all again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning as we meet together. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. That you would give us wisdom, understanding, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, again, we want to thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Well, appreciated the boys' lesson and their insight this morning into the verses that they gave. It goes with a little with what I want to talk about this morning. I guess one of the thoughts that I had is there's a lot of understanding in the way we think, the way the boys think. It's a blessing to see that. What I want to encourage you to do is to not only be able to talk about that, to be able to carry that out, what you're talking about. Sometimes it's so easy just to talk about what we know to do is right. The Bible says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. And it is so easy for us to have understanding without real application. And that is the heart of religion. That is the difference between religion and just someone that's a godly man or a righteous man. You know, we talk a lot about godliness and being a righteous man, and I trust that's our goal. The way to be a righteous man, I mean, we talk about a godly man. If we would just mention someone, and if you just think about it just for a minute, and if you ask, who is a godly man to you? I mean, who comes to your mind? You know, we know religious people. We know decent people, but who is a godly man? You know, that's a very lofty thing. We often think that we give a lot of credit to successful people. We give a lot of credit to popular people. But if you just think about it, who is a godly man? I mean, that's just one you got to really kind of think about. Come up with someone a lot of times. If we'd ask about someone successful, boy, we could just pop them off a whole list, have a top 100 we could slip in there. But who is a godly man? And what are those qualities? And I just, like I said, the young boys, they have some very good, lofty ideas. And I would just encourage you just to put those things into practice and be that godly man. Not just a religious person about it. Not just a dedicated religious person. That's not what we're after. We can see that. That, you know, one of the things I was just thinking about, the difference between a godly man and a religious person is, a religious person is proud. They get proud of what they're doing and that they're doing pretty good. And they just kind of go up and down with how they're doing. But a godly man is just, he doesn't really even consider himself that godly. He just does what's right. Being a good man. And that is the goal that we should strive for. You know, one of the things that we read in the Bible, that on the judgment day, one of the most blessed things that could be said is when Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, it's not anything that would necessarily stand out in this world, but it is what is real and what is going to matter. Being a good man, being a godly man, being a righteous man. Like I said, there's a great distinction between being a very strict religious person and actually just being a godly person. You know, the Bible tells us that God has written His laws on our hearts. A lot of times we think the guy that can quote the Bible the most or say the best things about what the Bible says or be the best teacher is the one we always seem to listen to. But the Bible tells us that it's the godly man that is the one that should be sought after. Not necessarily just the most knowledgeable or the one that's got all the Bible verses figured out. And that's what it means whenever we're seeking to be a good man. It's not the one that has all the rules down pat. A good man can live by right because it's what's right. Righteousness. He lives because when situations happen, he doesn't have to break out the rule book to get him through it. He's able to do what's right because it's right in front of him. Sometimes that may counter some of the rules. We see that in the life of Jesus, that there was many times he was in conflict with religious people because his guide, his power, his morality, his godliness and righteousness of being a good man, it just surpassed all of the written. And that's our goal. It's what we're to strive for, is that we would be a godly man because that's who we are in our being, not because we've just learned it, or not because we've just learned how to keep the rules, but just to be a godly man. You know, I'm thinking about this, as mentioned today, or just a couple of days ago. There used to be a man that he always never had a car. And if you would mention him, if you just ask people in this community, even today, anybody that's any very old at all, ask if they remember Jess, they'll all know who he is. He wore a black suit and carried a big Bible. He was always at revival meetings, wherever, almost every night. But you would see him almost every day. If you were driving from Purdy to Monette, he'd be walking along the road. People would holler at him, and everybody knew him. But they always remember him. He wore a black suit and had a big Bible, carried a big Bible everywhere he went. You would pick him up. I don't know how many times I picked him up on the way, coming into town. Go do a little bit of business and go back towards Purdy, and he'd be coming back towards Monette again already. It just seemed what he did. But he was a good man. He was a godly man. Didn't have a thing that the world would appreciate or like. But he was a good man. And I think sometimes we just lose sight. And I'm not encouraging everybody to buy a black suit and carry a big black Bible, because that makes you righteous. It doesn't. The goal is to be a good man. To be a godly man. And that's, like I said, we easily sometimes see the success. We can judge people, and, well, they're successful, or they really do this, or they really do that. But a godly man is what we strive for, a good man. Just as we see a good man, and we know that is what God is looking for in a man. We know that's what God wants, isn't it? There's no question about it. Good man. And then we see what the Bible talks about a wife. In the Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 26, I'm just going to read a few verses, and I'm not necessarily looking for a pattern to explain what a good wife is or a good woman. But I want to point out that the Bible often, whenever it's talking about a woman or a wife, talks about the blessings of a good woman or a good wife. Just like our goal should be to be a good man, and everything that implies, the Bible talks about people being a good wife. And I just talked about, or just about Mother's Day, is what I thought about this. There is nothing higher in this world, no higher position that a person has, that God has granted to humanity, than that of being a mother. And that is just overshadowed by women and their accomplishments, women and their ability to do things, women and their ability to make things happen or whatever. But the Bible talks about a good woman, a good wife, a good mother. And our perspectives or our ideas of these things are often far different than what the Bible sees. Just like we see in a man, we see all the big things that men do, the accomplishments, the inventions, all the things that they do. But yet, what does God desire for us? There's no better reason for our creation than to be what God created us to be. Yeah, we may be able to do things. We may be able to accomplish a lot of things. But what best suits our Creator? What best suits us in the eyes of our Creator? And here we look at woman, and it's the same things apply. We can see all kinds of great things that they can do. And yet, what is it that their Creator desires for them? This is verse 26, chapter 26, verse 1. It says, "Happy is the husband of a good wife." Very simple statement, but there is so much there of a good wife. Happy is the husband of a good wife. The number of his days will be doubled. A courageous wife makes her husband glad, and his years shall be full of peace. A good wife is a good portion, and she will be given in the portion of those who fear the Lord. The good heart of a rich or poor man is a cheerful face at all times. Just some things here that it's pointing out that how great it is to be a good woman or to be a good wife. It's not a little thing. It's so easy for us to aspire for some sort of greatness in people's opinions or in the minds of our peers. But what is it that is greatness in the eyes of God? It's so easy for us to say that we believe these things. Just like I started out, so easy for us to quote the scriptures and tell a good moral reason for them. But it's a thing different altogether just to be what God wants us to be. That's what pleases the Lord. Over here in verse 13, the wife's grace will delight her husband, and her skill will put fat on his bones. A silent wife is a gift from the Lord, and there is nothing worth as much as a disciplined soul. A modest wife is blessing upon blessing, and there is no scale adequate to weigh a self-controlled soul. Like the sun rising in the Lord's heaven is the beauty of a good wife in ordering of her house, like a lamp shining on the holy lampstand. Is the beauty of a countenance in the prime of life. Beautiful feet with a steady heart are like golden pillars on a silver base. Like I said, it's not just picking out every little thing here. The point is the blessedness of a good wife. The blessedness of a good mother. The blessedness of a good woman. That kind of stamp is like a golden candlestick set on a holy hill. Like he's talking about here, all these things that are just beautiful. The Lord's sun rising in the heavens. Oh, it may not catch much attention from mankind, but it is something that is beautiful. In 1 Peter chapter 3, talked about this. Verse 1, it says, in the same way, and this is Jesus. We've just talked about Jesus as our example. We're talked to following his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet when he reviled not again. And then it says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. This verse is just very plain, very simple. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Whenever I'm talking about behavior, I don't know how many women think that if they just obey God and obey some rule or obey some idea they have, that that's what he's talking about, behavior. That is not what he's talking about. When he talks about their behavior, it is that of a godly woman, a good woman, just like we have the idea of a good man. That behavior is not, she's super religious and so, oh, I'm taking notice. That's not what he's talking about. It's that she is being what she is supposed to be, loving her husband, seeking to make him happy, being what she is supposed to be in this life. See, that's where we get all caught up in the rule book, but we miss. And that implies a complete different type of behavior than that of just being what she's supposed to be. You see how easy that is substituted, that type of behavior. It's as different of religious, strict religious behavior, and that of a good man. Those two, they don't even fit in the same world. And it's the same way with a wife. A strict, real, right there wife, she's going to listen to God above her husband. Or a godly woman. He will be won. I mean, I don't know how many wives think that, oh, if I just be faithful, I'm going to win my husband. And it fails every time. Because their idea of faithfulness is not who they are in behavior. It's some religious code that they're trying to implement. And it won't work. That of the wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. How many times we've heard women, I'm going to hold on to what I think is right. And it's so disrespectful to her husband. It's so disrespectful. Then it goes on to say, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's where a good woman is born. And that's where a good man is born. That's where a godly woman is born. And that's where a godly man is born. It's not all the religious extremities that you can put on the outside. It's not trying to conform to some religious type of perfection that you've set up in your own eyes. But it comes from the heart. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. I talked about it before. Do we seek after what is precious in the sight of God, or our own ideas of what it takes to impress God? If we could just grasp what it is that truly pleases God. People have gone to the ends of the earth to figure out what it takes to please God. And right here it is, in very simple words. Women, you don't have to be astronauts. You don't have to be religious pioneers. You don't have to be setting everything in order. It says, with the imperishable quality. Imperishable. You know, we find things that perish. And you got to protect them and pamper them or they'll go bad. Here is one that is not perishable. It will not go bad. How much time we spend trying to preserve things and protect things? We put paint on things. We put it under a building. We do all kinds of things to keep things from perishing. And here's something you can set right out in the middle of the open land, and it will never perish. With the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. You know, we have things that are precious to us. We usually keep them protected or in a safe place because we hold them precious. They're dear. How much more does God hold precious those things that are dear to Him? Why isn't our goal to be that precious to God? We can be. To be a godly woman. To be a godly man. That is the ultimate reward in this life. It's the ultimate goal that we should have in this life. And we could go into a lot of details of some of the things that this entails, but it's really pretty simple. We'll get this part done. All of the, you know, we're pretty decent about being responsible, taking care of things. That's all part of this. I mean, ordering our children, guiding their lives. You know, I've talked about mothers that they're not, your children are not your little buddies and your little friends. You're their mother. You're their father. And how we've seen over and over again were mothers who let their affection for their children take it easy on them and pamper them and just overlook things all the time. Ruin and spoil their children. Preached messages about we need mean mothers. Almost seems cruel to their children about how mean their mother is. We have those responsible qualities that we're shooting for in things like that. But add to those things this imperishable quality towards your husband. And of being a woman in general. A meek and quiet spirit. Being a good man. Being a godly woman. That's our goals. Not just because we can talk a good game, but because that's what we are. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back and think, oh, I'm a good person. No. It's because God has given us this opportunity to reflect Himself in our lives, in the way we're supposed to live, in the position that He has put us in as a man or a woman. Just to be the best in that particular station that you're put in, to be what you're supposed to be. not thinking that you're really accomplishing anything by being a good one. Jesus said, when you've done all that you're supposed to do, bow your head and say, I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant, being what we're supposed to be. A lot of substitutes in religion. Being religious, being knowledgeable, being successful. But they are cheap substitutes, cheap imitations to just being what God wants us to be. May the Lord add His blessings.